immediately after that. Well, that's not always the case, and we're going to look at that. But I've been reading to you about the person of the Lord Jesus. Now, the person of the Lord Jesus here in this case, it says that they were worried because when are you going to really tell us the truth? Are you the Christ or not? Well, you've seen my works. You've seen evidence. And he goes on to talk to them. But he says, you believe not because you are not my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they know me, and they follow me. First of all, here it is. These people, they wanted some kind of evidence. But they take up stones there at the end of that because he claimed equality with God. The person of the Lord Jesus was a good person. He was pure and holy and righteous. He did no wrong. He did no sin. In him was no sin. He knew no sin. He was absolutely perfect. The only person born into this world with total, absolute perfection and holy and righteous was none other than the person of the Lord Jesus. The King David could say, in sin did my mother conceive me. We know that we were born in sin. And we're not sinners because of what we do. We do the things we shouldn't do and things say the things we shouldn't say because we have got that evil nature. Now, the sad thing is this, that the moment we are saved, and it is exactly true, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have joy and peace and happiness and satisfaction like nothing in this world can ever give, or no one in this world can ever give. Now, how do I know that? Because of experience. But that doesn't mean to say that we don't have trials and tribulations or sickness or sorrow or sadness. No, it doesn't mean that at all. Some of the greatest Christians that ever lived have suffered for Christ's sake. They have suffered physically, they have suffered mentally, and they have also lost their life for the cause of the gospel. So it's not just like a bed of roses, but there is no joy like the joy of the Lord. In fact, if I was not a Christian today and not saved, I don't know how I could sleep on my pillow tonight. Put my head on the pillow and sleep comfortably. When I watch the news these days, I cannot help but see that there is something coming on the stage. It's like all being set, and it's going to happen any day now. This war in Iraq is not an accident. It's not a chance. I don't believe it's George Bush. Oh yes, he's a hand and a tool of God, whether he knows it or not. And it's just something that's all in God's big plan. And you will see, as you look at history, you will find that Israel was surrounded by six nations, totally surrounded, with the Mediterranean Sea. That's the only place they had to go. It was called the Six-Day War. And way back then, the people thought they were going to annihilate the people of Israel. Now, God had promised to the Israelites that you will be trampled upon. Wherever you go in this world. In this world today, the Jews are everywhere, but they're hated today. Very much hated. And that's not going to change. We've heard the stories of the Holocaust and all that there. It hasn't changed one iota, and it's going to continue. We see that the nation of Israel was surrounded by her enemies. God said, you will be trampled upon, but I will rescue you. I will spare you. And you will notice that they got their independence in 1948 from Britain. Now they are a state of their own, no longer ruled by the British or their enemies. And over and over and over again, God has honored his word. It's truth. It will happen. When God speaks, it is done. Be sure of that. And those enemies of Israel, surrounded by them, what hope could Israel have? Some of the biggest countries, like, the land of Israel is just like a tiny little speck when it comes to Egypt, when it comes to Syria and Iran and Iraq. When they're surrounded with these nations, Israel's just like a little piece of, just the smallest little thing when you come to that. Yet, in 6 days, Israel was victorious. It's amazing. Who would ever think at this moment of time that Israel could survive what they have went through? Now, it does say that there will be peace before the Lord comes with Israel. Who could ever imagine at this particular time that the Palestinians and the Israelis are sitting down and talking peace? It's almost unbelievable. It says that Russia will be leading the nations from the north in that war when the Northern Confederate armies will come down upon Israel from the north. We hear now of Iran and Russia making a pact. They're getting together. Just on the news this morning, Russia has already said again that we are going to supply Iran with nuclear materials for building, they call them, like power stations and whatnot. But this is all what's happening according to Ezekiel 37, 38, 39. It's all coming into place. We think of Saddam Hussein. We think of him. Here was a man that he thought he could control the world, rule the world. What an evil man he was. But you know something? Here's a man that has soul. He had a soul that needed to be saved. Could God have saved him? Of course he could. But Saddam Hussein willed not that he would be saved. Now Saddam Hussein and some of these other leaders like Yasser Arafat, Yasser Arafat, for example, today, he's dead and gone. He means nothing anymore. And if Saddam Hussein could talk to you, Yasser Arafat could talk to you right now. Yes, he's in a lost eternity. Yes, he's gone. But he has his memory with him. And he remembers the opportunities that he had to receive Jesus Christ. Did he hear the gospel? Of course he did. Did he live in the land where Jesus lived? Of course he did. He heard the stories of the Lord. Yes. But he willed that he did not want salvation by Jesus Christ. He chose another God. Now, in a lost eternity, he's got his memory. And now he knows the truth. Like the rich man that died and went to hell. Send Lazarus to my father's home, to my brethren. Now here's the rich man. He's becoming an evangelist. He's becoming concerned about members of his family who are not saved. I don't want them to come to us awful place called hell. And he cried for a drop of water. He didn't want a drink of water, just a little drip of water to cool his tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Now, if Yasser Arafat, for example, could speak to you today, do you know what he would tell you? I'll tell you what he'd tell you. He would tell you the very thing that I'm telling you now. If you're not saved, get saved right now. Because now he knows the truth, but it's too late. My dear friend, if you're not a Christian, you're not saved today, do you imagine what it would be like? It would be hell itself. If you were to hear this gospel message, an opportunity for you to receive eternal life, right now as you sit in that pew, and yet you say, no, I don't want it. I'm all right the way I am. I don't want to believe in Jesus Christ. I don't want to go to church, my friend. Forget about coming to church on Sunday morning. You see, the thief on the cross had no time to come to church. He was nailed to a cross. But by faith, he looked to the Lord Jesus and he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That's what he said. And my dear friend, if you walk out the door today, for example, and you reject this Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what he did for you and me on that cross, you could possibly die and go to hell. And you will never, ever forget this day that you sat here in Carlisle Avenue Gospel Chapel. You'll never forget the very place where you sit and my voice ringing in your ear, repent and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. You'll never forget it. Now, to have that memory forever and forever and forever in the torments of hell is hell itself. I would never like that. Is there times you've ever missed a great opportunity in your life? Have you ever thought, I wish I had just made that move or accepted that opportunity that was given me? You made the wrong decision. Sometimes in life you can rectify it and have an opportunity to get it again. When it comes to salvation, there is an opportunity now. There is no tomorrow. Tomorrow may never come. You and I might never be here. Or the Lord Jesus might come and snatch his people from these pews and throughout the world, those sheep that belong to him. I give unto my sheep eternal life. Why? Because they heard his voice and they followed him. In other words, they heard the message of salvation. They heard the promptings of the Holy Spirit of God convicting of their sin and revealing to them the beauties and the glories of the Savior. They heard his voice and they followed him. And they might not have always done what the Savior wanted them to do, but nevertheless,
The very moment that we accept Jesus Christ by faith into our hearts, we are eternally secure in Jesus. We are now in the family of God. That cannot change. But what can change? And this is sometimes a deception that we are led to believe. Or people like me, we come here and we give the impression that nothing bad can happen to us in our life now. You see, before I was a Christian, I thought, in the assembly where I was raised, I thought the elders and the people there and the preachers that came were absolutely perfectionists. I thought that they could do no wrong. And I looked at the preachers and I said, I would love to be like that man. Absolutely perfect. But very soon I began to understand and to learn and to read my Bible. And you will find that a lot in the epistles of Paul, especially, a lot of it is correction. Saints were doing things they shouldn't do. Things were going on in the assembly. Not only morally wrong, not only unethical, but spiritually wrong, doctrinally wrong, the things that they were doing. And so that's why we have some of the teaching. For example, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. It's because there's something going on in our lives, and we can hide it. And so we've got to search our heart. The importance of coming to the worship service is to remember the Lord in the beauty of holiness. He is holy. Now, I read about these things, and I'm sure there's some young person maybe, or an older person who's a young Christian maybe, just maybe saved, and you think, you know, well, here I am. I'm saved, and you're happy. There's nothing like the joy of the Lord. There's no peace like peace with God, or the peace of God. Peace of God, salvation. Peace with God is a different thing. The peace of God is salvation. Peace with God is how we're living our life after we accept Jesus Christ as Savior. And if you're out of step with the Lord or with God, and you do or say something, you're out of fellowship with Him. You don't have peace with God at that moment of time. And there's nothing so worse, so bad in a Christian's life as to be not talking to God. You're falling out with God, literally. But let me tell you, I still do go to New Hampshire Bible Chapel, and there's a dear friend up there. From the day we met her, she's been our friend, and when I come down from the podium, she'd meet me at the door, and she'd just jump up and throw her arm for me and says, Billy, you just look like an angel up there. And I would say, never say that to me. I'm no angel. I might be a saint, but I'm no angel. But you know what I mean. And she was getting a picture like, well, he doesn't have the problems that I have because of the way we stand and dress and speak. But my friend, there is no difference to you or to me. Not one difference. You go to work, I go to work. You go to school, I don't go to school. I school myself in the house. You have to go to school. I hate schools. I hate teachers. If you're a teacher, I'm very sorry. Please forgive me. My teachers I don't like because they're always telling me what to do. And they punish me. And I never did well at school, so I don't like it. But you do your thing, and I do my thing. And it's just, but we've got the same old heart. And after a while, when we realize we're saved, we learn something that we never realized before. Now, some Christians who profess today still don't know this, that we have an enemy, and it's not communism. It's not the Muslim religion, Islam. It's nothing like that. It's called the world, the flesh, and the devil. And it was after a while, when I was saved, I began to realize, what's wrong with me? And the devil would come in and say, you know, you're not even saved. But then we have to come back to the Word of God. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And we begin to read in the Word of God about other people, wonderful Christians, men and women of God, who fail. Now, when it comes to the day of grace, now, again, there's not one of us here perfect. Not one of us. I have said this before, and you wouldn't believe how many people have come to me. So I trust what I'm going to say will be a help to some of you. If there's something in your life that's eating away at you, do something about it now. What I will say is not an excuse. It's not an excuse. It's not sympathy. It's nothing else. It's only that I might be a help to someone, and that I might, in my life, bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. But when we read in our Bibles, people of great stature, like King David, like Jonah, like Mark, John Mark, like Peter, here is great men, great and wonderful men. And one of those men has written the greatest psalm, one of the greatest psalms, Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Forgive me, O Lord, for my sin is ever be more for me. Now, there's a pile of different sins in this world. There is called addictions in this world. And people can be addicted to this, that, or the other, and somewhat seem legitimate. We can legitimize it by saying, well, that's all right. That's not a sin. It can be a sin. Whatever captivates you in your life and takes you away from enjoying the presence of the Lord, whatever it is, that is your downfall. That can eat away at you, and it can multiply and get worse until you're far away from God. Now, I could stand here today and tell you story after stories of actual events that happened in my life, of friends I know. Some of the greatest missionaries in the world that I know. One was a dear friend, served the Lord with me in Korea. I served with him. We worked very close together. We lived together, Mary and I and Naomi. His wife died when he was in his 30s and never married again. But here's a dear man. I used to call him Mr. Korea. When he went out there, he really started the assemblies in Seoul, Korea. When I went out there, there was only 5. When I left, there was 32. When I was left Korea, there's only like 25. When I went in 25, there's only 25 assemblies in Korea. But when I left, there was like, well, I think it was about 95 or something in Korea. This man was recognized by all of the Koreans. They came to him. They actually had him on a pedestal. And he's in his 60s. He was about 70. And he had a desperate fall. I don't want to tell you what it was. It was a desperate fall. And that man had to go back to Australia. He was commander from assemblies in Ireland, just about 12 miles from where I was. And afterwards, about a year and a half later, I was there when it happened. I was there with him. All our missionaries had left. It was not an easy task for me, being a young missionary at the time. He met me afterwards and he said, Billy, he said, I've cried so long and so hard till there's no tears left. What he did was bad. But I'll tell you what, I'll see him in heaven. Because I give unto my sheep eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And to actually make it even more solidly sound, me and my Father are one. So our life is in God's hand. Jesus Christ is our Savior, our Redeemer, and our Lord, and our God. But there will be things that will come into our life, and we won't like it. But we have to battle with it, and we have to deal with it. And if someone here today, a young Christian, and say, well, I told a lie, or I stole something, or I did something, no, I'm not saved. I was up with my grandkids in Chicago there, I think it was 2 weeks ago, at the weekend. And it came to our We were leaving on the Monday morning of a Sunday night, and it came on about the news about Iraq. And they're 12 years of age, and my other grandson wasn't there. He's 16. But the two, 12 years of age, and my daughter said something about Iraq is on the news. I said, yes, I've been watching that. I said, you know, it's very interesting. And I started to share a little bit, which I was sharing with you. I said, this is no accident. You know, this is not just something that's like happening. This is all in God's plan. It's like a jigsaw puzzle and us all coming together. We can't figure it out sometimes, but God knows. We will try and say things that, you know, sometimes we don't know what we're talking about. Remember when Ronald Reagan and Gorbachev stood after the Berlin Wall came down, they shook hands, and Reagan said, me and Mr. Gorbachev, we brought down that wall. Mary was sitting beside me. I said, that's foolish, Ronald. God brought that wall down. It was God allowed that wall to go up, and God brought it down. And God is still working. So I started to talk to my grandkids, and they would ask some questions, wonderful questions, interesting questions that actually shocked me. Next thing, the TV was off, and we talked for about 40 minutes. My daughter, Mary, and my two grandkids. And they were asking very, very intelligent questions. Like, one of them, I stopped following the Lord Jesus. And so I had to explain to that, you know, we will say and do things. And I quoted them like from John's epistle. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is writing to believers, not unsaved people. That's what he's talking about. There is a word in the Bible, and it's called restoration. I thank God for that. Restoration. And these people in the Bible, they were restored. Now think of David, what he did. He committed adultery. He committed murder. And yet God raised him up again to sit on the throne. David. We think of Jonah, that's in 2 Samuel 11, but we think of Jonah in Jonah chapter 1, there in that third verse, it says that Jonah went down and he fled from the presence of the Lord. All because God had asked him to go to Nineveh, another city, and preach the gospel that people might be saved. He fled from the presence of the Lord. Well, he went down, down, down. It's four or five times it talks about down, down, down. And he went down eventually into the belly of an animated submarine. Into the belly of the great fish. And there he realized what he'd done was wrong. Jonah was restored. And he fulfilled then the will of the Lord later on in his life. John Mark, he had a falling out with Paul and Barnabas, and Barnabas inside, and he caused a bit of a division. And later on, God raised Mark up, John Mark up, not only to go back with Paul and Silas and them, but to write the wonderful gospel of the servant in Mark's gospel. And then we have Peter. And Peter there, in chapter 13, chapter 13 of John's Gospel, he denies his Lord. And he said, Lord, I will die for you. I will die for you. And the Lord said, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. And when you deny me three, you'll hear the cock crowing. And standing around a fire burning coal, Peter denied his Lord to a little girl. Peter was the big, strong, robust man, but he denied his Lord. And later on, chapter 14, verse 1, following the Lord's warning, but not only, I think, speaking to Peter, but probably all the disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you will be also. Eternal security of the believer. What words from our Christ, our God, our Lord. There you will be also, Peter. And we know that Peter raised up, and he preached the gospel, and thousands were saved in the book of Acts. Thousands. Then he goes on to write 1st and 2nd Peter, those wonderful epistles. God is a God who cares for us. So, let me give you my illustration. I have been in hospital. These are not excuses. These are nothing at all. I'm wrong. I feel. Whatever reason. But I've been in the hospital 19 times. It all started in September 11th. It actually started before that, but I wouldn't listen to the doctors, and so almost nearly died before I finally obeyed the doctor. And I went to the doctor on 9/11, and immediately he wouldn't let me out of his office. He sent me straight to the hospital, right across the road. And that was the start of everything. Heart attacks and whatnot, and cancer, and on and on and on it goes. And thank God I'm here today. I went into depression. Some Christians say, the Christian shouldn't be depressed. Well, don't talk too soon. If you haven't experienced, don't talk about it. I know a dear friend, a very dear friend of mine. He's probably 76 or more now. He thinks Christians should never be depressed. Well, I was with him just in January there, last month. And he said, Billy, you know, and he told me, I don't think he knew I knew about it. He said, but you know, Billy, I used to believe that Christians should not be depressed. It's wrong. That's a sin. He said, but now I've changed my mind. I didn't ask him why he had changed his mind, but that was enough for me to hear. He has changed his mind. And so, I remember after my heart surgery, my daughter bought me a reclining chair for my bedroom. I got in where I couldn't answer the phone. I would cry. It just went on and on. People say it was all the drugs that I was taking that they were giving me. Some of them I tried to stop, which only made me worse. One time it took me back in the hospital and tried to work it out myself, but I was bad. And then cancer came, and then the radiation treatments came every day for 8 weeks, and on it goes. That's not excuses. But I went into deep, deep depression. Very bad. Now, when I was in India, and I'm not sure, I'm not blaming this on the devil. The Lord allowed it to happen. I accepted it. I had never feared when I was going in for any of my surgeries. I had peace. But somehow or other, he allowed it to happen. I remember preaching in India. It was the gospel series that we had. We were preaching every night in a rented church building over there. All-night train journey south of Bombay in a city called Meeraj. And I remember at that meeting, the lights went out. It was not unusual for over there. And when that happens, you start to talk. What shall I do? Continue? Give out a hymn? Thing? What shall I do? Pray? Bring the meeting to a close? And I continued preaching and just talked about, in John chapter 8, the Lord Jesus said, I am the light of the world, but as you sit here, we're in darkness, but you're in darkness spiritually. And I kept on talking just for about 3 or 4 minutes. And then I said, but God said, let there be light, and there was light. Way back in the book of Genesis, I'd be amazing if it just come on right now. And did you know it just came right on? Well, I said, oh, I didn't do that. It's just, it just happened. But there, at that meeting, I said, I'm going to say something to you. And I was talking against the Hindus and the Muslims and whatnot. Not taking it up in a bad attitude kind of way, but saying that there is only one living and true God, and these other gods that they worship are only people who were made by God. They are creatures of the Creator, Jehovah. I like Tom mentioning Jehovah. I've got a habit now of referring to our God as Jehovah, because many other people are referring to God, their God, and it's not the only living and true God in Jesus Christ. So we have a great God, the only living and true God. Now, I said to them, I'm going to tell you something. I know the devil's going to get me. I know he's going to attack me. I don't know how, when, and where. But I know, I had that feeling. I was sure of it. But I'm going to say it anyway. And I went on to say the things that I said. How bad the devil is and how he will attack you. And it's the devil's behind all these other gods. Like the Buddhas and the Hindus and the Muslims and all. No, no, we can go. It's the devil behind it. I'm not blaming it on the devil. But I got so low, I didn't want to live. Literally. I can't tell you the whole story because it would just take too long. And you don't want to hear that. But I said to my wife, I wrote her a nice letter in my computer, and it's still on my computer. And I said, listen, I'm gone. I am no good for you. I'm just worthless. I am just no good for nobody. And I went out. And I stopped in a liquor store, and I almost killed myself. Nobody could find me. I was an alcoholic before I was saved. They say once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic, but God is greater than that. And I went out, and I guess I fell among the palm trees. There's a lot of conservation areas. And it was raining in Florida. And I fell asleep. But I thought that I wouldn't wake up. I don't remember half of it. The elders were out searching for me. They were out, some of them were out to 2 a.m. looking for me. Mary had got the police. They had my picture out. They were searching for me. And little did they know that I was lying down there with the alligators and the rabbits and the rats and all the rest of the stuff. But I didn't concern me one bit. God preserve me. I could have lost my life in more ways than one. Finally, I was picked up by a security guard, found me sleeping on a sidewalk. And he said, you better move. I said, well, I'm doing nobody harm. I'm just waking up. I wasn't sure where I was at the time. Then I started to walk, and I found myself in a bad area. And 2 young men come over and liked my ring and want to take it. And being stupid, I said, well, I like it too. But if you want it, you're going to have to take it. I ain't going to give you it. Well, you know what happened to me. I was on the ground pretty quick. Well, very soon a cop came along in a squad car, and the 2 guys ran. Probably my life was spared again. Apparently they took me to a police station and kept me there and found out who I was. I'm not sure, but Mary tells me I was there 6 or 8 hours or something. And then one cop heard my address being mentioned by someone. I have no idea even where I was in there. I don't know. I'm only told it. But he said, that's my neighbor. I will take him home. And there was a number of the brethren in my house when I got home. And on the way home, I said to the constable, I said to the officer, I said, I am so sorry. I said, do you believe that I am a Christian? Even worse than that, do you believe that I could be an evangelist or a missionary? Oh, he said, yes. I also am a Christian. I belong to the Baptist church down the road. And he said, what happened to you? He said, could happen to anybody. He said, I'm taking you home. Took me home. He said to Mary, he said, there's only you, me, and your husband right here. He said, I'm going to pray with you, and I'm going to leave you. He said, and I am confident that God will hear the prayers of the people. Your husband's going to be all right. And he prayed, and he left. I still see him every day. What a man. I was just simply bad. I'm not blaming on anybody, not even my sickness. What happened to me could happen to you, my friend. I just heard word the other day of another person who is addicted now to painkillers. I won't even hint at who it is. Pray for that poor dear brother. But my friend, If you have something in your life right now, deal with it. Go to the elders. You see, sometimes we're afraid to go to the elders. My friend, go to the elders. Because they will have grace and mercy and understanding from the Lord. And if you need help, they'll get you help. They're not going to hurt you. They're not going to beat you up. Maybe some Christians would. But go to the elders. Seek help. And confess your sin. And get right with God again. Before it is too late. I know other people I can share with you. Who are doing great in MS Bible School. Wonderful in MS Bible School. Today, they're on drugs and everything. It's sad. It just breaks your heart. Thank God that I have recovered. I went to the hospital. And if it wasn't for the elders and a wife that stood by me, who knows where I would have been today. But all because of God's love, God's mercy, and God's grace, here I am. You've heard of the wing of the bird with a broken wing. There's been a tremendous discussion on the Gospel Hall forum on the web that the bird with the broken wing will never fly as high again. Some believe that, some don't. Well, if I'm a bird with a broken wing, I want to fly higher than ever before for the glory of God and for the help of His own dear people. And I trust that what I have shared with you will not hinder you or hurt you, but help you to live your life for the glory of God, knowing that God is not an evil God. He's a God of mercy, of love, and of grace. And He has proved it in your life and some of your life and in mine that He is the only God that we could ever wish for and a wonderful Savior. Who knows all of our situations, our weaknesses, our shortcomings, and His ear is always open at any time. Thank you. And continue to pray for us. Let's pray. If there's one here not saved, and you would like to know for sure that you're going to heaven, you can pray right now as you sit there. Or I'll be at the back, and you can talk to me or some of the elders here. And if there's anything in your life, my dear Christian friend, the Lord Jesus is ready. He'll help. I can help you. And so can the elders. Gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, we come into Your presence and speak to Thee in that lovely name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for a great salvation. We thank Thee for a wonderful Savior. We thank Thee for the greatest of sacrifice, the Lord Jesus on that cross, the one who knew no sin. He died for us, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree. And Father, we thank Thee for the assurance that we get from Thy word. And one day, Father, we will see Thy Son, our Savior, face to face. And when we see Him, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. When we be taken from this world of doom and gloom, of sin and shame, and we will be in the glory, in paradise. But best of all, we will be with Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen.